Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
And so the Tonys have come and gone, and now we await the repercussions. The big winners? Well, Company, winning Best Revival of a Musical, beating Caroline or Change, for a number of reasons I won't go into here. It also won Best Director for Marianne Elliott, her third Tony, Matt Boyle for Featured Actor, even though it was not the best or most admired version of that show. It was the final one for Sondheim, the year that we lost it, and I'm sure that mattered. Now, remember last week I asked if there was any way that Patti LuPone would not win Best Featured Actress in that musical? Her role in Company is a classic one, but I think she would have won that regardless. Best Featured Dramatic Actress was not a surprise either for me, Felicia Rashad in Skeleton Crew. Rashad is beloved by all and has become a successful director as well. The other big winners of the night, no surprise, included Lehman Trilogy as Best Play, Best Actor, and Best Director, not to mention Best Set. Take Me Out was the revival winner, and Jesse Tyler Ferguson for Featured Actor. The surprise here was that Trouble in Mind was nominated. Now, personally, I think it deserved to win for revival, but the truth is, I don't believe the Alice Childress play ever made it to Broadway before, but I am going to check that out. There was a lot of controversy about that. And how was the award show itself? Well, it's getting the usual reviews this morning, bland, predictable, etc. I am more positive. I liked Act One, a way to give out the technical awards, though the hour was only available on the Paramount Network, which obviously not everybody has. This section also included the Lifetime Achievement Award, which went deservedly to Angela Lansbury. Sadly, she is no longer well enough to appear in person. Then CBS took over for the next 3 hours. Recent Oscar winner and former Broadway understudy turned star Ariana DeBose was a perfect choice for her, and her opening number was very clever. I believe a bit of every famous song in the history of Broadway found a spot in it. And what a dancer. Her energy level was way up there. Maybe she could switch to decaf, I don't know. I wonder if Billy Crystal will do it next year. His routine, based on his current Broadway musical, was sticky but funny. The performances from all the musicals did just what they were asked to do, remind you that shows old and new are back, worth remembering, and, of course, attending. I will say everyone talks too fast, and come on, let these people have their minutes or minutes. Somebody said they had 47 seconds, and the show did end exactly on time. Was a reunion of the Spring Awakening cast necessary? No, but the performance was touching. Even having the awards handed out by pairs of actors who had performed together in the past was a new take, and very, very fun. Nathan Lane and Andrew Garfield, Bryan Cranston and Tony Goldwyn and others. And it's the first time the drama nominees included taped words of the playwrights answering fun questions. That worked very well. If there was an overall theme, well, it was inclusion. Finally, someone mentioned that it might be time to consider that Great White Way is nothing more than a tired nickname. Trans nominees, men thanking their husbands, the final victory of a strange loop about a black queer man writing about a black queer man. Cheers to everyone, but we have to ask, will this bring the tourists from New Jersey, the older audiences who pay for most of the tickets? Well, we shall see. Either way, it's all out in the open now, and it ain't going back. But more and more shows ain't coming back. Dear Evan Hansen and Tina, two musicals that had been selling strongly before the pandemic, both have announced late that they're going to close late this summer. And Come From Away will close on October 2nd. But all those productions must be considered successful. They had good long runs. They have national tours, even were made into less memorable films. So as those near their final curtains, tickets are very affordable right now, as are, I expect, even the night's winners, not counting for Wicked, Lion King, Hamilton, Music Man. Those you can never get half price. But now eyes will be on the Tony losers for Colored Girls, who considered suicide. Well, they were up for some nominations, but they have already closed. The Hunches Girl from the North Country will have to finally surrender. Paradise Square is worth watching and may get a reprieve due to the Best Musical Actress winner, Joaquina Kalukango, but word of mouth on that one, including mine, is just not positive enough for a long run. Meanwhile, Off-Broadway has a lot of action. The Mint is back. I'm going to see the newest this week. I will also be at Playwrights Horizons to see Corsicana, starring last night's somewhat surprised Best Actress winner, Deirdre O'Connell. By the way, she played my daughter's mom once at the Cherry Lane Theater, so we were excited in our family. The Atlantic has Sarah Silverman's Bedwetters. A new play called Soft is the latest offering from MCC. And New York Theater Workshop is presenting Dreaming Zenzile, which I just saw. Now, this is about a woman we came to know as Miriam Makeba. Somi Kakoma is both the star and playwright here, which may be the problem. It's about 40 minutes too long and part concert, part biography, part political rant. The star is surrounded by four highly talented dancers, singers, and four musicians. You end up standing and clapping to the African music, but still wanting both more and less. Now back to Broadway for a moment. One of the nominated shows I did finally catch this past week is American Buffalo. It's at the Circle in the Square in what was always called a limited run. Ending up Tony Free probably didn't help. That said, this is one of David Mamet's famous works. You got three guys at a junk shop planning some shady stuff. Does it wear well? I guess. The language is obviously not your mom's lingo. Mine would have had a heart attack. But the set is great, as is the cast, especially Sam Rockwell in the showiest role. Mamet himself has lost a lot of fans due to his weirdo politics and statements of late. Whether that kept people away is anyone's guess. And the new politically correct titling of theaters continues. So we'll end on this good news. The Nederlander organization said it would rename the Brooks Atkinson Theater on West 47th in Lena Horne's honor. Horne joins James Earl Jones to receive such an honor. And my hunch, Jill, that ultimately means more than any Tony Award.
It is true. So were you happy, basically?
Yeah. With the winners or with the show?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. I thought it was a good show, I must say. I thought it moved quickly. Everybody did their parts. 76 trombones was pretty amazing. They probably could have done another number, but that was okay to start with that one. I think it did what it was supposed to do. You know, the big question now, of course, which shows might suffer, which might get a bounce. That's worth watching this week, which you know I will do. Obviously, The Strange Loop is the one that should get the bounce in one Best Musical. But again, it's not for everyone. You know, it had 11 nominations and there were half-price tickets every day. So we'll see. Lehman Trilogy is long gone. Carolina Change is long gone, which is why really that got overlooked. It had a limited run. It closed before a lot of Tony voters had a chance to see it. So they were kind of annoyed because I thought, frankly, Sharon B. Clarke, who played Caroline, was a lock for Best Musical Actress. But as I learned more, I realized, oh, I see. Not enough people saw it, and it's long gone. So, okay. Anyway, yeah, I thought it was what a Tony Award should be.
And the age-old question, how did it play in Peoria, do you think?
I wonder. Let's see what the ratings are today. I'm sure it didn't play in Peoria.
But what I mean literally is let's assume, of course, that the ratings were as they usually are
yes.
on the ocean floor, just because.
Right.
But for the people who were watching, I'm asking more of an abstract question.
I get it.
For the people who are watching there, because they're, how do you think? I mean,
they probably thought, "What the hell is this?" You know, they would know Michael Jackson, so they would know that scene out of MJ. They would know Felicia Rashad. You know, they would know faces that they recognized. Or they have any idea what Dana H. is, that Deirdre O'Connell won Best Actress for lip-syncing an entire show? Well-deserved, by the way. But, you know.
More to the point, if they saw the Tonys, would they run to see Dana H. if it were open?
Probably not. It played in Los Angeles, and it did pretty well there, but at a small theater. No, I don't think so.
I'm basically what I'm asking is, you know, because one of the things I will never forget is when Hairspray was up for Best Musical.
Yeah.
And how joyous the musical numbers were. And you could just, you know, that you could stand there, but you could also feel the people getting ready to, what was it called? Call Telemaster? Whatever. Ticket
check. Absolutely. And, you know, the last real Tony Awards, real one, was, I think, 2019 when Hadestown won. And Hadestown had that feeling. Hadestown had a Hairspray feeling. And it's still on Broadway, doing pretty well, pretty well. But that's on the road. You know, a lot of these shows are on the road now. What can I say? Do I think A Strange Loop is going to bring people in? I want to go see that. I don't know. You know, it's certainly what somebody said last night. I think the hostess said that it's Broadway is completely reflective of its community. Its community meaning those that put it on, not necessarily those that pay for the tickets. Let's be real honest about that. Yes, it's completely reflective of the acting community, the understudy community, the playwriting community. It absolutely is. But I don't know. I think the big question is they'd probably rather see Billy Crystal. And frankly, but that was my favorite show of the season too. But hey, I'm getting up there. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe by next week I'll have some answers. I'm going to go to those ticket booths and see what it looks like.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.